Welcome back, friends. Luke chapter 24 today, and on our journey through the Word, this is as big as it gets. It takes place on a Sunday, and for those of us who follow Jesus, this is the day where hope finds its foundation. Without this day, Ecclesiastes says, life is meaningless, and Paul says, our faith is worthless. Everything hangs on this one day. It is Resurrection Day. 3 days have passed since Jesus took on the great enemy. Death is the one enemy that conquers every man, no matter how smart or strong. But watch the battle carefully. Jesus died. Death won. To defeat death, you have to live. And now the showdown is past. 3rd day since, and the disciples are struggling. But this is also a first day, Sunday, and it begins early. Verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly 2 men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." They were not expecting this. Put yourself there, hearts heavy with grief. Then confusion. Where's his body? Then shock. 2 men, clothes like lightning. What can you do but bow? And the question, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. And the next word is the key to this whole chapter. Remember. In verse 6, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the 3rd day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. So remembering is key, because Jesus already told them about all of this, repeatedly. The cross was not a surprise to God. For that matter, neither is any trial that comes into your life. So why were the disciples so surprised? Had they just listened and believed, the whole experience would have been so much better. Hope transforms every trial. Why didn't they listen? My guess is that the disciples were like the rest of us. We don't like to think about hard truth. Open the Bible, and we would much rather read encouragement than warning. But God promises us some hard things in this life. Jesus promised us trials and tribulation, repeatedly. Still, we act surprised. But here's the rub. If you won't listen to the hard promise, you won't hear the hope that comes with it. Like John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. As for the women, they run back to tell the disciples. In verse 11, but they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. I wonder what that was like for the women, filled with hope and staring at a room full of mourners. I imagine the angel's question came back to them, probably stayed with them for many years. It stays with me. Why do I seek the living among the dead? Why do I sometimes treat church like history class, or worship like a memorial service for God, like I'm an old lady laying flowers at Jesus' gravestone? Shouldn't our faith walk be a living, breathing, leaping, risk-taking, heart-pounding, edge-of-your-seat relationship with the living God? He is not here. He has risen. The disciples aren't ready for that just yet. Yet Peter is intrigued enough to get up and move. He runs to the tomb. He finds the strips of linen, but no body. John's Gospel informs us that he too went to the tomb with Peter, which begs the question, why aren't the 4 Gospel accounts of this story identical? I mean, they are mostly the same, and all the big stuff matches, but some details differ. A friend helped me with this. He's a lawyer. He said that when 4 witnesses tell exactly the same story, that's not agreement, it's collusion. But the four Gospels don't do that. They tell the same events from four perspectives. That's crucial to understanding what we have in the four Gospels. The minor differences here are in line with what you should expect from a collection of witnesses. As you may recall, that's how Luke assembled his account, from many witnesses. Back in our story, Luke shares the account of two disciples whom the others missed. Verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. I love this story. Jesus himself comes up and walks with them, but they don't see it. Can I relate to that? Wondering what God is doing, yet all the while, God walks with me, unrecognized. The stranger asks what they're discussing. One disciple, Cleopas, is a little taken aback because everyone is talking about these things. Verse 19. "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him." They go on to lay out all of the facts that they know about Jesus, like puzzle pieces that just don't fit. His amazing life, his tragic death. Ever do that? Ever try to piece together a story or figure out what God is doing by laying out all the pieces, some so full of hope, others so tragic, and wonder, how can they even be the same story? And their next phrase gets to the heart of it. In verse 21, "But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place." They had hoped. When all was going well and Jesus was so amazing, everything seemed to add up. His words were truth, the very words of God. His works were powerful, bringing healing and life. But this last part, he died. Worse yet, he was killed. So much for hope. How do you piece together God doing such amazing things on one side and allowing something so awful on the other? But then, a new piece showed up, one they hadn't expected. In verse 22, "Some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb, and there, no dead body, just angels who said he was alive." I think there may be a subtle message here to men about listening to the women God puts in your life. Then in verse 25, he said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken." How foolish. Foolish is making conclusions without understanding. When you look at the facts, but only the surface. When you fail to perceive that your plan and God's plan are two different things. When hard things happen and you conclude that God failed. Verse 26. "Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." This is awesome. What I wouldn't give to be a fly on their backpacks. As they walk along the road, Jesus walks them through the Old Testament and explains all the scriptures about himself. Scriptures they knew, but were slow of heart to believe. Makes you wonder, what passages and promises am I missing, either because I don't want to hear the hard stuff, or I'm just slow of heart? They reach Emmaus, but Jesus keeps walking ahead. "Stay with us," and he does. They sit for a meal, and Jesus breaks the bread and gives thanks. Suddenly, their eyes are opened. Jesus! Maybe it's the familiarity of breaking bread, or maybe something about gratitude changes your view. and just like that, he disappears. Stunned, but finally understanding, they immediately head back to Jerusalem to see the disciples. More news there. Jesus appeared to Simon. Then verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." Interesting that Jesus emphasizes that he does in fact have a body. He even joins them to eat some fish and reminds them that everything had to be fulfilled. And watch verse 45. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." Two keys. He explains and he opens their minds to understand. Both are necessary to faith. And what comes next? Verse 47. "And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Those instructions are crucial, as we shall see in the book of Acts. What the Father has promised is the Holy Spirit. Without that power, the disciples' mission would be futile. And so, a day that started hopeless finished with a calling. Bring hope to the entire world. We have that same calling, and we need that same power. We can explain the message, but only the Spirit can open the mind. A great deal more took place in these first days and weeks after the resurrection. Luke will share some of it in his continuation of the story in Acts, and John and Paul share further still. But we close out Luke's gospel with one more phenomenal story. Verse 50. "When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God."
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.